Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Roland, what's up, Freedom Fiends?
Yo. You hanging out with Droney the Drone today?
Always, man. Droney's always right above me, watching over me.
That's a cartoon I sent you. It's like, it says, drones have been getting bad press lately, so we need to make them kid-friendly, so they have this cartoon, Droney the Drone.
Yeah, it's a little predator drone with a smiley face, talking to the kids, telling them, hey, you're going to be okay, right? You don't have anything to hide from me, do you, kids? The kids are like, the robot death plane scares me.
Yeah. Today is the landing of that Uber drone that's been in orbit for a year, the solar-powered...
Oh, yeah.
It's like a miniature space shuttle that spies on people. And I really think it's like the Reagan Star Wars thing. And they just don't want to talk about what it is. It's top secret.
It's top secret. Where'd you hear about it?
I don't know. CNN. It's like, how top really secret is it if they're secrets. Like posing yeah. for pictures of it, too? It's like they want some information out, but not all of it.
Well, they just want enough to make you a little bit scared.
Did you know that...
Be more afraid.
One of the companies that makes the drones is a subsidiary of Chevron. It's called... And they're called General...
Robotics?
No. That's a modem company. No, they're called General Atomics, which DJ said sounds like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Like, you know, when the Roadrunner graduates from buying anvils from Acme, he goes to General Atomics.
Nice. See, I was thinking it was some kind of Japanese version of a Marvel comic, like General Atomics. They'd be like the X-Men or something, mutated with their radiation.
My friend Skip Lunch... was in the first punk rock band I ever saw. Yeah, they all had zany names. The bass player's name was General Electric.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yep.
Worms. So, yeah, drones, they're here to spy on your kids.
So, speaking of drones, this sounds like a non sequitur, but you know what the name of this cast is?
No.
Anyone who lies to you about pot will probably lie to you about everything.
Who lies to you about pot, Michael?
Nobody that I listen to. I block them all and delete them and run them out of my life. But, you know, who did? Teachers, cops, politicians, the governments, nanny staters, parents. You know, and
people who I haven't listened to in ages. Like, I can't remember the last time I heard somebody like that talk about pot.
Yeah, and even if they're not lying, if they're only lying to themselves and believing other lies, it still holds true because everything that they say is going to be a lie, you know?
Yeah.
I made an image today and put it on Facebook. It has a picture of the Jetsons, and it says, "We were promised flying cars, but the research budget got spent on flying robots for killing brown people."
Yeah, I saw that. It started as a thing you did on Facebook where you were saying, you know, when people ask me, old people ask me, where are all the flying cars?
People my age. That's like a thing you know, if you're like 40, 45, when you were a kid, you saw the Jetsons when it was current, and you were – And they talked a lot, like in school. They're like, and some, you know, in 40 years, we'll have flying car. Everyone will have their own flying car.
I wish. Yeah, they chose flying death robots instead. And that's the other thing. It's they really did choose. The government chose to steal your money and spend the money elsewhere. If the market got to choose, what do you think people would really want? Do you think people, you know, in a free market would really choose flying death robots that kill brown people
over
flying cars? I don't know, man.
In the 60s, they said give peace a chance. That was what they wanted. And then those people ended up getting Obama elected.
Mm.
And you know, I said it's not really Obama's drones, you know, because they've been working on this since Area 51. You know, when they saw – people thought they saw spaceships. It was early prototype weird flying machines. But what did you say to that?
Well, they're still Obama's drones. I mean, if you moved into a new house and found a flamethrower and burned a bunch of Vietnamese people at the shop down the street, it'd still be your flamethrower. You used it. I mean, just because the drones were there when he moved in doesn't make them any less his, doesn't make him any less guilty for murdering brown people with them.
When he won and they swore him in and gave him the keys to the drones.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a picture of a Cheeto eating young
drone
Air
pilot,
Force dude.
Drone quote unquote yeah. pilot.
Yeah, and it said, how cowards fight wars. And someone said, well, the same thing could be said of, you know, they used to say the same thing about firearms. And I was like, when, in 1620?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, really, I think it should just be like the leaders of all the nations should go have like a steel cage death match with, you know, and throw in a couple people from the military industrial complex.
I wish. Yeah. Yeah. Or just drop the people that are calling for war from planes as if they were bombs, as Scott Horton says. See, that's the thing, though. That's the only reason that they want war is because they don't have to face any of the risks.
See, generals gathered in their masses.
Yeah, they send the
they send your
young,
kids to
poor
die.
People.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Literally my kids. Yeah. Or my
and a lot of times you want your kids to die. I mean, not you personally, but
no.
There are people that they love the state more than they love their own family. They're
dude, if some guys come and knock on my door and have a flag folded up, it's going to be the second worst day of my life, and I am not going to be like, well, it was a good thing. I'm going to be horrified, man.
Yeah.
Horrified. So when I say we're promised flying cars, but the research budget got spent on flying robots for killing brown people, somebody took me to task, like saying, what, you think the government should have spent that money developing flying cars? And I'm like,
no,
absolutely not. I mean that all the everything got squandered. You know, money got stolen from people and spent on flying robots to kill brown people. The scientists got wooed away and threatened away and couldn't get the jobs they wanted.
Yeah, it's the opportunity cost, dummy.
Yeah.
The government stole all that money that could have gone elsewhere, and maybe it wouldn't have gone to flying cars, but if the government didn't steal the money in the first place, it would have gone to something that people wanted, whether it was flying cars or sex robots, you know.
Yeah, there you go. I can always tell newly minted libertarians and anarchists when they pose like snitty comments at me on Facebook.
Right, because they're still working on the old premises. That's how you can tell. They're like, oh, well, the government should have done this instead. And I'm like, what's your anarchist? No,
dude, that's a kindergarten answer. I'm in the grad school answer. I'm the professor teaching grad school.
Professor Dean.
Yeah, and professor you can tell Dean. People. You can tell even if people are seasoned anarchists if they've never listened to the Freedom Fiends when they see the title, tongue-in-cheek title of one of our casts, like, if you want a libertarian paradise, move to the Gaza Strip, and they start arguing with me, saying that's a false delusion or something.
That's a fallacy.
Listen to the cast, folks.
They start listing the four or five types of logical fallacies I'm using because they just heard it that day on Bad Quaker or Stefan Molyneux.
Nice.
I'll get to use these in a sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the Gaza Strip in Israel, did you hear about all the hullabaloo in Israel where they're having like pogroms basically against the local African population? I think it was in Tel Aviv. Did you read about that?
A pogrom sounds fun, but it's probably not. What is it?
No, well, that's not what...
It sounds like a game.
It's not what the media was calling it, but they used to call that back in the day when the Germans would riot and, you know, bust all the windows out of the Jewish shops and, you know, or the Russians did it to a lot of Jews. They'd call it pogroms. Don't know where the word comes from, really, but that's where I heard it from in high school history
sounds
class.
Indian.
But
you had better history class than me, man. Sounds
I guess. But at any rate, it was this big deal where all these local Israelis were basically rioting and angry at these interlopers or infiltrators, a lot of them called them, from Africa in town. And it led to one of the members of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, or maybe the K-Silent. I don't know. I'm not Israeli.
Knesset.
It is Knesset. Okay, great.
That's how they say it on Fox News.
Ah, you still watch Fox News?
No, but they did.
Dude, did you see
Dick Cheney's backstage
yes,
rider?
That was
like
great.
The hotel room must be 68 degrees with all the lights on and all the televisions tuned to Fox News.
Yeah.
I'm like, what kind of like old man, overly warm, like you have to be in the same environment with the same images of your people on the screen everywhere. I would never, I don't care how rich and famous I got and could demand whatever I wanted if I were traveling, I would demand some things, but I would not demand, you have to have Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom playing on the TV
when I walk in the
door. You have to have Freedom Fiends blaring on a fine stereo system.
Yes.
Laupunk, preferably. The word program.
No, you must have 10 tiny children reciting Freedom Fiends in chorus.
As a play. The word pogreb derives from the Russian verb Russian pronunciation meaning to destroy, to wreak havoc, to demolish violently.
Okay. Your Russian sounds like Martian to me.
It sounds like my cats when they're rabid.
Right.
You know, there was a record label called Rabid Cat Records back in my punk rock days. I thought that was a great name.
Nice.
And their logo was like a sketch of a cat that looked...
Yeah. Well, when I read that thing about Dick Cheney, I was thinking that's just because he's their secret news director. He's got to keep an eye on his people so he can give them notes afterwards.
I read somewhere... Yeah, he's like a coach looking at videos of the game afterwards. You know, I read somewhere that Fox News was created in the Nixon administration... And, you know, like the plans for it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, did they have Fox? I don't imagine they had Fox pegged. They probably just had this, you know, it was an idea to have some kind of major cable news station be a propaganda arm for the state.
For the Republican state.
For the Republican state. There you go. That's the difference, because everywhere else is still a propaganda arm.
Speaking of propaganda arms for the Republican state, and I'm going to do a stunning thing here on 3 hours of sleep. I'm going to tie the – oh, and by the way, I drafted you today. I got up like 2 hours before you did, before I woke you up. And what did I do?
You gang-pressed me into service for the Navy of the Freedom Fiends.
Yes.
You were like, you must podcast.
Speaking of the Navy, you know, the Queen's Jubilee thing reminds me about like 25 years ago. The Sex Pistols rented a boat and followed the Queen on her Jubilee and played God Save the Queen really loud at her and got arrested for
it. At her?
Yeah. And Richard Branson, they were on Virgin Records. Richard Branson, like, talked the police out of doing worse to them.
Yikes. What's a Jubilee?
A Jubilee, it's the flotilla. It's, I don't know, every how many years the Queen sits on a boat in the fog while a bunch of boats go by on the Thames and she waves at them. It's a big thing. It's like, I don't know. I think it's the anniversary of her coronation or something.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird word. My mom was telling me about... part of the history of it, and I didn't verify this, but she was saying that it's an idea from an old Jewish tradition that every so many years debts would be forgiven. You know, it'd sort of be like starting from zero, kind of like the concept of Fight Club.
Yeah, but we just won't be doing that. We'll just have the boats and charge
we'll
you all
for it. We'll just steal more of your money and have a big boat trip.
Yeah.
You can see how fun it'll be, guys. That'll be your Jubilee. but anyway... I still want to go back to this Israeli thing. After these so-called pogroms, or I guess I so-called them, but anyway, there were human rights activists obviously denouncing this, saying, what the hell are you guys doing? You're beating people because they're some kind of racial minority and you don't want them infiltrating in your towns? And one of the members of parliament, Yulia Shamalov-Berkovic, she said this. She said she wanted to send all human rights activists should be imprisoned and transported to camps we are building.
We are building? Who said this? What country?
Israel. MP, Member of Parliament Yulia Shamalov-Berkovic.
You know, I read today, did you know that, sorry to keep going off on tangents, there's just so many though. Did you know that George Bush considered plans to bomb Al Jazeera's headquarters?
I thought they did – I don't know if it was their headquarters. I thought they did bomb some areas where there were Al Jazeera journalists, like hotels and stuff that they knew had Al Jazeera journalists. But I didn't hear about bombing their headquarters, like their actual, you know, where they have the satellites.
Did you hear that some guy in Texas this week got sentenced to 20 years for the crime of having contacted Al Qaeda by email?
No. Jesus. Contacting them by email.
I mean, he wanted to join them, or they said he did, but that's not what the headline said. It said 20 years for contacting Al Qaeda.
Wow.
Like, here's a warning. Careful what you do on the internet.
So how many years in prison? 20?
20. Yeah.
For sending an email.
The amount of time since the Sex Pistols played on the Thames and followed the Queen last time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the other thing. You know, even if Israel's saying they're building prison camps for human rights activists, or sorry, some members of Israeli parliament. I don't want to overgeneralize there. You know, we basically have prison camps, don't we? I mean, we have giant prisons. We have the biggest prison population in the world.
Anything can be a prison camp, too. I mean, people talk about FEMA camps are being built. I mean, you know, you don't think in a time of national distress where they wanted to round people up, they wouldn't just close a few high schools and stick you in there and put a bunch of Marines around it?
Or throw you in the Superdome, like Katrina style.
Yeah. I mean, there's a line in a Dead Kennedy song, the Peace Corps builds us labor camps when they think they're building schools.
Yeah.
And you thought it meant like, well, does that mean schools are prisons? And I'm like, no, it means the Peace Corps goes over and thinks they're doing humanitarian work and building schools that later are used to inter people by dictators that are propped up by us, the country we live in.
Just think about how many giant government buildings the government owns or the state owns. You know, they own so much that
They own half of Wyoming, man. That'd be enough to inter every dissident in America.
They own like half of the West. You've seen that map where it shows like the percentage of government-owned land in Western states. And like everything west of Texas is like more than 50% or almost 50% in that range.
So to bring it around to the title of this podcast, anyone who lies to you about pot will probably lie to you about anything. FreedomFiends.com, 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 FreedomFiends, FreedomFiends, FreedomFiends.com, 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 FreedomFiends, FreedomFiends. And to connect it to the idea of, you know, Fox News being like the government saying they need media to spread their statism, and to bring it around to something new that I want to think about. You know, we made the Guns and Weed movie to try to show and successfully showed that all freedoms are interrelated. I'm starting to think that all tyrannies are interrelated, where you kind of enter into conspiracy land. But check this out. Okay, you know who Sonny Bono is?
Yeah, yeah. He Eminem has a line that he says he hits the trees harder than Sonny Bono.
Who says that?
Eminem.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I think he has two songs about it. Yeah, he's a fake hippie from the 60s who was married to Cher, and they had a show called Sonny and Cher Show that was like, you know, she was the bossy wife and he was the melpy husband. Mm-hmm. And they did a variety hour that, you know, they dressed kind of like hippies, but it was kind of statist hippie humor. It wasn't even as cool as Laugh-In, which you don't know what that is, but other people do who are listening. I wouldn't expect you to know or care if you don't.
You sound like such a hipster. It's Laugh-In. You wouldn't know about it.
Yeah.
You probably never heard of it.
Yeah. But and Sonny Bono later became a U.S. congressman, a Republican U.S. congressman. I watched this DVD. I got this DVD from Netflix called The Educational Archives, Sex and Drugs. And it's a collection of those old like 50s and 60s films they'd show you in school. Mm-hmm. You know, they had ones on hygiene, ones on menstruation, ones on sex, and a bunch of them on drugs. And I kept looking at the intro to all of these. TJ and I watched them last night just for kicks. It was funny. Like, oh, this is funny. And a lot of them were produced. Okay, there were two producers of most of them. One was, I forget what it was, but I looked it up and it was the precursor to the MPAA, you know, the Motion Picture Association of America, mm-hmm. the people that sued Napster. And, you know, the woman who is in charge of Obama's reelection campaign, Hillary Rosen, used to work for the MPAA and was solely responsible for suing Napster out of existence. Mm. So if you think Democrats are cool,
they're not. They're not. No. So, yeah, all tyrannies are related, man.
So I'm gonna go behind the riddle wrapped in the conundrum here and go behind the looking glass, beyond the looking glass. It's not even that deep. It's just like it's fact. Okay, so half of these documentaries were produced for schools to brainwash children were produced by the precursor to the MPAA in conjunction with the American National Health Organization, which is mm-hmm. now the National Health, something else. But it's like, you know, basically Hollywood and the government got together to make these half these films. The other half were produced by Lockheed Aircraft,
oh, really?
Which is Lockheed Martin, who make the missiles that are on the drones.
Yeah.
And the Lockheed Martin ones often had these, like, they'd have a bunch of hippie stoner kids asking all these questions, and then they'd have a bunch of straight non-druggy kids asking questions. And the druggy kids questions made sense to me. They were like, why do older people want to go to war? Why are older people always telling me to cut my hair and what kind of music to listen to? And why are they so concerned about money and blah, 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 you know, like all these questions that made sense. And then they'd have but they were supposed to be the crazy ones. And then they'd have the sensible kids asking, you know, like saying like, well, sometimes, you know, you have to do what's right for your community. And then they'd have a soldier saying something like
that.
So
what were the topics of the Lockheed Martin producer? I mean,
the topic of this one was
pro-war?
It was drugs. It was an anti-drug thing, but it had all this like subtle pro, not even subtle pro-war stuff in it.
Right, right. Because they thought the culture war was between drugs and the government.
War.
Going to war.
Yeah. And there was one that was that was narrated by Sonny Bono. He's actually on screen narrating it. There was another one that was narrated by Sal Mineo, who was off screen. You know who that is? Mm-mm. He's the Puerto Rican kid in Rebel Without a Cause.
Mm, I've probably never heard of him.
Okay. old classic film, Rebel Without a Cause, James Dean movie.
Yeah, I know the movie. I don't know who the Puerto Rican kid was.
The Puerto Rican kid.
He looks like a Puerto Rican cousin.
So the one that's narrated by Sonny Bono, it opens with these kids peacefully having a pot party in their parents' house while their parents are away, like 16, 17-year-old mm-hmm. kids. Like
you, know, you do.
Eight or nine of them, boys and girls. You know, nobody's doing anything horrible. No one's even having sex. They're just holding hands and listening to some groovy records. And the cops knock at the door, and some girl lets them in.
Stupid.
Yeah. And you know, cops rush in and bust them and pull them out into a bunch of police cars. And they're chanting and yelling things while they're being taken away. Like one kid's like, why should pot be illegal? It's no worse than alcohol. And another kid's like, pot, there's no reason, you know, legalize pot. Everyone wants pot legal. And all these things like that. And then the rest of the movie, Sonny Bono shows a clip of each of those statements and then attempts to debunk them. And the debunking is ridiculous. It's like it doesn't have any logic to it. Like one of the debunking is, oh, one of the kids says, pot's legal in every country except America. And Sonny Bono's like, it's not legal. It's illegal in these countries. And he names all these countries. And he said, and then
they're all
said,
like NATO members or something.
Yeah. And in Nigeria, here's the punishment. And it shows a guy being executed point blank on his knees with a 1911 and, you know, shot in the head. Like, that's going to make me go, oh, well, they kill people for it in this third world country. We should have it illegal here. And then he says, this is even better. They say, like, the World Health arm of the United Nations, and they show the United Nations outdoors and then indoors, you know, the people sitting around voting, and he's like, had a vote on it, and not one country voted in favor of decriminalizing marijuana. And I'm like, that is not a selling point to me.
No.
Okay, but here's the thing. Sonny Bono, there's a couple close-ups of him. he looks fucking wasted. His lids are heavy. His eyes are pinned. His face is kind of like slack. He's fucking wasted. And I said, DJ, he's fucking wasted. And I went and looked up on the internet and it said, after his death, his wife admitted to a reporter that he had had a long running addiction to Vicodin and Valium.
Yeah.
So anyone who lies to you about pot will probably lie to you about anything, including Republican senators, congressmen who do anti-drug commercials that are produced by Lockheed Martin that tell you war is good and pot is bad.
Well, and you know, they probably all have their favorite politically correct drug that they're on, whether it be caffeine, nicotine, Vicodin, Prozac. I mean, think about all the soccer moms on Prozac that are so get their panties in a wad about meth and pot, but they have to have their bottle of pills from the doctor or else they're going to kill their kids in a car by drowning them in a river. You know, they're just hypocrites.
Sonny Bono, he's not a real hippie. He's not a hippie. He just plays one on TV.
So you should have told him to get on his knees, that dirty hippie.
I know.
Frickin'
yeah, well, he died. He was probably high when he died skiing, crashed into that tree.
It was karma, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, although I don't believe in that as a deist, but yeah, it was karma.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money. So I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, classics, Turkish, menthol, strawberry, cherry, vanilla, coffee, minty mint, and cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Rolling. I is feisty
you
today.
You are feisty, man. Do you have a bunch of coffee? Did you have your coffee enema?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Your, what is it, naughty nursing? Oh, yeah.
Nah, I just had some Jankum and Crocodile.
Sounds delicious.
And looked at the queen. You know, on Peep Show, there's a scene where one of the guys is going to have his he's going to a sperm bank and he's in the room like going to beat off and all they have is men's magazines and like gay magazines in there. So he like looks through his wallet and he's got like a picture of his mother and he says, no, and puts it back in. And he pulls out like a 10-pound note and turns it over and looks at the picture of the queen and says, yes, it's 1945 and you're still young and recently coronated.
Disgusting.
But he's looking at a picture of her now.
Yeah, that's horrible. Back to how tyranny is related on the same continuum, you know, just like all freedoms are freedoms. Just think about, you know, you talked about it on that sort of smaller scale of individuals here in America, but think about the larger scale. And this goes back to that stuff we were talking about, the Israeli pogroms. Just think about the parallels between Nazi Germany and modern day Israel. I mean, they
man, the hippies should have armed themselves the anti-war protesters in the Vietnam War.
Do you think that would have helped?
I don't know, man, but I just think that the military industrial complex is so entrenched now that it's just, ugh, I shudder to think that it's ever going to get any
better.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of think that was a foregone conclusion with the way the state is.
I think there's some guy in the central scrutinizer office listening to this right now, and he just heard me sound like I give up, and he like wrote something down and smiled. And then went off to fap in the bathroom to a picture of Obama and George Bush.
Yeah.
On the special money they print up for the internal use of the feds.
Oh, is that how it works? That's disgusting.
Their money's worth more. Their dollar's worth like a dollar instead of,
you know, instead of a penny.
8 cents.
Yeah. I want to go back to this parallel, though, because I was thinking about it the other day, and it just seems to get more and more obvious with each passing day. Both Hitler's Germany and Israel, they claim a right to land because they are a chosen race. You know, Hitler said, you know, and he was trying to get back all the stuff they lost in the Treaty of Versailles, and they were the chosen race, the people who were appointed to control the world. The Israelis feel the same way. I mean, they're the chosen people. That's why they get the land, because the Bible told them so. They both use false victimhood to justify violence.
Who are you talking about? The Nazis and
Israel.
Israel.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Israel has become Nazi Germany.
I'm amazed how many Jewish politicians are acting like Nazis and not noticing it, like Bloomberg and Schumer and
They're not even Israeli.
Not all of them.
They're the American Jews.
Yeah.
And Israel's building concentration camps. I mean, they already have the racial minority in ghettos, basically, with the Gaza Strip, and now they're having pogroms against another racial minority. It's just when do people see that this is so obvious? And now it's I'm not being racist or anti-Semitic here, because there's lots of Jewish organizations in America that are denouncing these pogroms, and Netanyahu himself has also denounced it. But I just.
What's the other racial minority they're going
Africans.
After now, other than Palestinians?
Africans. Yeah, Africans from Africa. I guess, you know, like a lot of places, they have refugee communities in their towns. I mean, hell, even here in Pasco, Washington, we've got a bunch of Somali refugees. So I'm assuming but when they say African nationals and refugees, that's sort of what they're talking about. People who came over as immigrants and are just trying to work and build a better lives for themselves. And people get all nationalistic about it and get all, they took their jobs about it. But the state always plays on these kinds of things. They like scapegoats. The state pretty much runs on scapegoats, because if it weren't for scapegoats, I think people would wake up and start to see who the real villain is in all of our societies, which is the state.
It's interesting that you use the term scapegoat. Do you know the etymology of that?
No. Does it have to do with African refugees?
It's Jewish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
What's the etymology?
Etymology. Let's see. Scapegoat derives from the common English translation of the Jewish term azazel, which occurs in Leviticus 16:8. Oh, our favorite chapter, Leviticus. After the prefix la, the lexicographer and Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon gave as a reproduplicative intensive of the stem azil, remove. Basically, it was they would put their sins on a goat and cast it out into the wilderness.
That makes sense. Wow. So yeah, I guess that's apt.
The original term as meant the goat that departs.
I see. Well, there you have it. So the state puts its sins on these other groups that aren't really the root of the problem, but are easy to blame.
And sends them into the wilderness of life.
Yeah, yeah. Makes them outcast, literally. Makes them the ones who we look at and scorn. Or not we, but people who buy the whole status paradigm.
There's a painting on this article by William Holman Hunt called The Scapegoat, and it's a goat. It makes me sad. It's a goat that looks like it's about to die out in the Badlands.
Poor goat. He just wanted to eat his cans.
I know.
Although the thing about exiling goats is goats are pretty resilient, man. Wouldn't they just be what like, awesome, now I don't have to get slaughtered for a ritual sacrifice.
Band together and rise up.
Yeah. Not even rise up. They'd just be like, all right, peace. I'm going to go live on the mountains now. We'll be hill people and be anarchists forever.
Yes, we're both typing. We're stealing time.
Yeah, we're stealing time from the fiends. Sorry, fiends.
Yeah.
We do apologize. Are you authoring DVDs, Michael?
No, I'm looking up this Pink Floyd line.
Ah, I see.
Yes, it's, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. Through pastures green he leadeth me the silent waters by. With bright knives he releaseth my soul. He maketh me to hang on hooks in high places. He converteth me to lamb cutlets. For lo, he hath great power and great hunger. When cometh the day, we the lowly ones, through quiet reflection and great dedication, master the art of karate, lo, we shall rise up and will make the bugger's eyes water.
That's actually pretty funny. Is that...
It's from Animals.
I was
going to
ask,
it's
yeah.
It's from the song
from
Sheep. The song Sheep in Animals, nice. Yep.
Is that a theme album? Is that why it's called Animals?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of... I wouldn't say based on Animal Farm, but inspired probably by Animal Farm. It's basically three really long Pink Floyd songs, Sheep, Dogs, and Pigs, and it divides humanity up into those three groups.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, who's who? I'm guessing the sheep.
Sheep are the same way we right. do sheep, you know, just the blind masses who
so
follow.
Is pigs the state and is dogs the rebels, or how does that work?
It's not so clear cut, but it's pigs and dogs are the bad guys. Dogs are probably, there's probably less of a moral judgment on them. They're more just following animal instinct and killing whatever they need to. And pigs are kind of like the bad pigs in Animal Farm.
Ah, I see. So no heroes in Animals.
Well, there is an intro and outro short solo acoustic song. It's two versions of the same song that's really beautiful and sweet that is one of the first things I learned to play on guitar. It's kind of tricky. It's got about eight chords, and it's got some seventh chords in it and things. Mm. And it's – I guess the hero is you because he's singing to a loved one, you.
Ah, I see.
It goes, you know that I care what happens to you. And I know that you care for me too. So I don't feel alone or the weight of the stone. Now that I've found somewhere safe to bury my bone. And as any fool knows, a dog needs a home, a shelter from pigs on a wing.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, the cover of that record is this really famous building in London. I've seen it. It's really oppressive looking. It's
oppressive looking or impressive looking?
Yeah, both. It's a former power plant, and it's got four giant smokestacks belching into the air on the cover of the record. And they got a giant inflatable pig and hovered it over that to take the cover photos. And allegedly, it got away. And landed, you know, 100 miles away in some farmer's field. But I think it was a stunt. I think they let it go for the publicity because they got a lot of
it. Nice. Yeah. Good job, Pink Floyd. We appreciate it.
You know, if a band sailed down the Thames during the Queen's Jubilee now, they would get droned by the Royal Navy.
I think they would get blasted by the naval guns. They wouldn't even bother calling a drone. They
yeah.
just turn the actual guns on them and let them fly.
And the queen would squirt and go, ooh.
She would clap. You know, royalty yes. really irks me.
Why is there still royalty, man? It's like at least everyone else has disguised it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess some people get it. Like my wife has a guilty pleasure of going to the Daily Mail and reading about the royals. But the articles, they do nothing. And she gets it. She knows it's silly. But she's just, I guess, fascinated with the fact that there's articles about it, with the fact that people peer into the lives of royals while they do such mundane things. And
I liked it when Prince Henry dressed up as a Nazi. That was funny. Yeah,
stuff like that is funny. But most articles are just like, Pee-Pee wore a white dress to a dinner party, or so-and-so goes and has lunch on the veranda. And it's like, why are there articles about that? That'd be like if I made bacon and eggs and somebody took pictures and wrote an article about it. It's just such mundane stuff. And what is the point?
And like with the austerity in England, that kind of display of puffery is kind of like, let them eat bait, you know, let them eat.
Well, yeah. And that's it. See, in America, we have celebrity worship, but all of our celebrities, I feel like,
earned it somehow.
Well, yeah, not even if they didn't. People, when they fantasize about that stuff, they fantasize about, well, I could do that one day. You know, if I practice hard enough, if I get lucky enough, I could.
You could even be president, but you can't be queen.
No. I don't get the fantasizing about that. I don't understand what it adds.
Well, that's why they love the royal weddings when, you know, the royal people do something horrible like marry a commoner, because then it's like, oh, I could do that.
Is that it? That's the only way.
What are the queen's powers? I'm trying to look them up, but I don't see them. Isn't she like the vice president in America? Doesn't she have some tie-breaking power in the parliament?
Maybe. I didn't know she had any political power. You know, some people say, well, it's good that they have their head of state, quote-unquote, separated from the actual governing of the nation.
Government.
But why do you need a head of state? Other than to show the commoners that we are a class above you. I feel like that's all you can get out of that, is that there's this upper class that you can never break into unless somehow you're good looking enough and can give a good enough blowy to the prince. Then you're just there. You are a commoner forever, and we will always be above you. So maybe that's it from the state's point of view.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends Live is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com or leave a message after the show at 765-27-FIENDS.
I'm thinking of that Monty Python thing of, I am your king. I am Arthur, king of the Britons. The who? The Britons. Who are the Britons? We all are. I didn't vote for you. You don't vote for a king. We're an anarcho-syndicalist collective. You ever seen that?
Yeah. What is that?
Come see the violence inherited in the system. The king ends up calling him a peasant and hitting him.
Like a king would do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you find out anything that the queen can do other than, I don't know, eat sandwiches and wear pretty dresses?
It's the whole article is really long, and it's all about puffery and fluffery and clothing and money and.
But people are fascinated with it. It's like her job is to go to parties and
her job is to ride horses with Ronald Reagan. I'm looking at a picture of that.
Maybe
right
that's
now.
It. She's the people's representative in the fact that she gets to meet all the foreigners and, I don't know, represent England.
Well, it's so weird because it's she's the lineage to the people that used to, you know, cut off heads when they were having a bad day. They had absolute power. And now they have a representation by the people bullshit power like we have, but they still have this queen around, man. I don't know, if I were a statist who wanted some kind of representational democracy, the first thing I'd do when I formed a parliament was move to off with the head of the last remaining royal.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I don't get. I feel like for the statist,
oh, wait, did I just threaten the Queen of England? I'm kidding. Whoever's listening from the Central Scrutinizer.
You're giving a theoretical premise. But I think you're right. I feel like if you were a statist who, you know, was honest about it intellectually and wanted people to, you know, embrace your idea and theory of the fact that the state can make you happy and really is a manifestation of the people's will, it seems like you would want to get rid of things like the state. Reminders. Get rid of things like royalty.
Robin Kerner said in that interview I did with him the other day that he doesn't think that England could ever be taken over by jackbooted thugs with guns like he thinks could happen here, because most Britons hate authority and just laugh at it openly. And I'm like, really? You see the fuss they make over the Queen?
Yeah. But then again, maybe the media there overblows that. I mean, maybe there are a lot of people who are obsessed with the Queen, but we don't get to, the media maybe doesn't show us the Britons that are complaining.
Well, I saw a good parody of it last night on The Daily Show. They were talking about it, and they had the British guy, what's his name? The
John
correspondent
Oliver.
On there. Yeah, they had John Oliver covering it, and when they cut to him to talk about it, he was like giggling and covering his mouth and looked like he was going to pee. He was jumping up and down so much.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's the joke we make, but I mean, Kerner lived there, so I guess he's got more to say about how Britons feel than we do. I mean, we only know what
okay,
we see.
Okay, this is weird. The Queen is still the Queen of Jamaica, the Barbados, the Bahamas, Grenada, Papua New Guinea. Are those all still under
not
British
rule,
rule?
But, I mean, that's what they call the Commonwealth, right? I mean, technically, she isn't Canada included in that list? I mean, they have queens on their money.
I don't know. I know that when I've signed distribution deals for DVDs I've done in foreign territories, like one time we just did one for the UK, and the territory was like England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Malta, and the Island of Man. The Isle of Man. And like all of those are near England except Malta, which is, I think, off of
Africa. Yeah, I think it's in the Mediterranean, in between Africa and Europe. Huh. Yeah, but I mean, there's the concept of the Commonwealth, which I guess is most of the old empire that is independent but still considers themselves, I don't know, I guess one with the empire still. Not necessarily like the Queen can dictate to them.
Doesn't Canada still have the Queen on some of their money?
You go to Canada and get your change from the subway and, you know, there's, I guess, Queen Victoria on the quarter or the dime or whatever.
What is Australia's relationship?
I'm pretty sure it's the same
England?
As Canada. It's part of the Commonwealth. Like, they're their own independent nation, but they have, I don't know, I guess a special relationship, but not the way America and England have, but... Who knows what these statists think, man? They call it a Commonwealth. That's what they call it.
I know.
I guess it means they, I don't know, have some kind of special lovey-dovey relationship.
Their wealth is shared in common with the mother country. They pay tribute. Is that what Commonwealth means? We own some of your money?
Yeah, just the word Commonwealth is rife with statism and collectivism.
I know.
End it.
I know.
End it all.
Ugh, where's Sonny Bono when you need him?
To get stoned and tell us the evils of
Dead.
The state.
To get stoned and tell us the joys of the state and the evils of drugs. I mean, he was so stoned, I was thinking, like, was this, like, you know, something a judge ordered him to do? But no, he was never arrested for drugs.
Yeah. Did people buy it, though? Like, I feel like nowadays...
And he's dressed really hip in it too, and he's like sitting in a like kind of hip looking, you know, personal library office kind of thing with like oriental rugs and tapestries, and like he's kind of sitting half on the desk with one foot on the floor and his knee bent and his arm on his knee and his other leg like on a chair.
It's so see-through though. And maybe that's hindsight, but like people back then, did they buy it? Because I feel like when I think of Sonny Bono and Sonny and Cher, I think of them as like the don't copy that floppy guy.
Which we need to talk about, and I need to embed those. That's been in the
I thought we talked about the don't copy
time.
My floppy. Don't copy that floppy. I think we did.
Did we? Okay, that's good, because it's yeah. Anyway, you know, there were in the 60s there was this anti-drug campaign that I think was paid for by the government. It was anti-speed. And it was like, I guess they decided they couldn't keep people from smoking pot. So they tried, let's try just going after speed. You know, and it was like, that's where the term speed kills came from. Like some ad
agency.
Oh,
I thought that was about speeding.
Huh.
Yeah.
No. Really? Huh. It's about the drug.
I'll be damned.
The drug. But they got all of these rock stars to do little radio PSAs that were played nationwide, you know, with taxpayer money. And, you know, a lot of them were kind of funny. I mean, it was like, you know, Grace Slick from the Jefferson Airplane, who's probably done more drugs than any rapper you listen to, who was, you know, like doing an anti-speed ad. But there were two that were really funny. One was Jim Morrison, they tried to get him to do one, and he was really stoned and really offended by the idea, but his manager had agreed for him to do it. And he was like, yeah, man, don't take speed. Take acid instead. You know?
Did he say that? They didn't play that, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't play it. They didn't use it. They didn't use his. But the best one, that I think it's awesome. They were all written by the person who's reading them. Frank Zappa. It was just, hi, I'm Frank Zappa. Speed will turn you into your parents.
Nice. Although, unless it was something tongue in cheek and silly like that, I would just lose respect for any rock star that did a government PSA, man. I mean, that's just so ridiculous. Just like I lost all respect for T.I. when he made a song about not carrying guns because he got arrested for guns. It's just like, how are you a rapper?
I'd never do a government PSA.
You're rapping about gun control? What the hell? I mean, that's don't copy that floppy to me.
I'd never do a government PSA, but I've kind of, done my own PSAs against heroin. I mean, I would say that there's chapters of my user's manual book which are best summed up by one line. It's in my first novel, which is, I'd become a serious alcoholic, but I finally cured my alcoholism with intravenous narcotics use, which I don't recommend.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's different. Devin the Dude has a song, about not doing any other drugs except smoking a whole lot of pot. So, I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's just when it's a statist intervention kind of thing. It's don't do drugs because it's illegal. Or,
well, I'm kind of being tongue in cheek. I would never really do, even in my own work, something that tells people not to do something. I think everybody should experience whatever they need to, basically because nothing you can say can keep someone from doing a drug if they really want to do it.
Yes.
And that's, I know that for a fact.
Totally true.
That was one of the funny things in this thing was they had a lot of like peer pressure stuff, like people at pop parties and like, come on, man, just try it. No, come on, try it. Now I have seen that with pot and I've seen it definitely with alcohol, but they had that with heroin too. And I've been around a lot of people using heroin. I have never seen a heroin addict try to like get someone to take it.
Basically, yeah, they want to keep it all for
themselves, but
geez.
Yeah. I mean, I've even seen people like I've seen junk sick, dope addicts that need a fix and they'll try to get someone to cop for them, but they're never like, yeah, cop and you can do some too. It's always like, yeah, cop and give me all the money and I'll try to pay you back someday. Yeah. People are not
heroin. Heroin's not a social
heroin
drug.
Addicts don't. Heroin's not a social drug. And it's not a drug that makes you think everybody needs to do this the way that acid or pot does,
Well, and
because the world would not be a better place if everyone tried heroin, but it probably would be a better place if everybody tried pot.
It'd be a better place for me if everybody tried heroin except for me, and I could make all the money.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there! Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. a film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
So,
yeah,
Nima,
what's up?
Do you think that the Queen is going to hear about my comment and issue a letter of marque to Halliburton to come get me?
I wish she would. I smack that Queen in her face.
You know, as long as I don't leave my house, I'm drone-proof, because my next-door neighbor is a retired CIA guy, so they're not going to drone my house.
They just tell him to go to lunch or something.
They just buy him a cruise for him and his whole family.
Yeah. Or maybe he has like a secret bunker 30 feet underneath his house that the city won't dig up and make him pay the bill. Now, around the time all these government propaganda ads for not doing drugs came out, I'm guessing that there's one person they didn't work on at least who's now a bigwig in the government, and that would be Barack Obama.
Well,
did you read the user's guide to smoking pot with Barack Obama?
The thing is, though, this was the generation a little before that.
Okay.
I mean, although these films were still being shown in school when I was a kid, they show these things for like 20 years before they get too out of date and corny and have to replace them.
I think we should all, or anybody who's a pot smoker should take a lot of Obama's tips and tricks and use them and even incorporate his lingo just to show him his hypocrisy. Like, we should all start calling pot chum and hotboxing in cars.
Chum.
and
Bogarting.
Oh, yeah, no, it was called Interception. That was my favorite because that just shows how much of a thieving status Barack Obama was, even when he was a pot smoking hippie. One of his favorite things to do was called the Interception, and he would just go grab the joint out of somebody's hands, yell out Interception, and start smoking it.
Interception. So he would tax people for their
literally,
weed.
Literally. Man, Obama.
Yeah, you know, drones go out of style like in about 18 months and have to be replaced with newer, better ones, and they cost like $4 million each. So what a scam, man! What a General Atomics. Dynamics. Yeah, General Atomics.
So many generals,
I think is connected to General Dynamics. Yeah, and Chevron. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason Chevron doesn't want to drill for oil in Wyoming, so they can keep having enemies over there that they have to blow up and have to build newer, better drones for.
Maybe so, but I feel like we're at the point where people just don't really care anymore. Like, I feel like they can justify anything to build more drones and to go to war, especially if they're moving, like we've said they were, to more automated war systems. I mean, I think also part of the reason for that is to keep people from getting upset because their kids are dying, which we've already talked about. People really don't anymore. They get proud a lot of times.
Well, I still wonder what they're going to do for patriotism when it's just a bunch of nerds in air-conditioned bunkers in Nevada.
They don't even need patriotism for stuff like that, though. All they need is an other. All they need is fear. I mean, that's why people really do it.
And I think a lot of nerds would do it just to get to play with the cool toys.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, if most people just sit there playing video games anyway, then people are going to respect the nerds that are in Nevada.
You know, I think a lot of people
stained hands.
Probably not a lot of people, but I'll bet a percentage of people who play violent video games who would never go out in the street and shoot hookers and stuff like they do in their video games, but I'll bet there's a certain percentage of them that if they could get away with it to play a video game where they're really killing people, they'd do it in a second. And that's who they get to do the drone piloting.
I don't know. Do you think that's true? It might be. And you can also sort of tell. I don't know. I guess I don't want to go there.
Well, the guys that shot up Columbine were really into video games, which people have said is a reason to ban video games. I don't think it is, but I think it might be something to suggest that what I'm saying is
maybe
true.
Maybe. I don't really blame the games. And also, you could play a lot of games these days. There is a moral calculus. Like my favorite game probably is still Red Dead Redemption. And the way I play it, I pretty much follow the non-aggression principle. There are some missions that force you to steal something for some guy. There's a few like that. But for the most part, I don't tie up hookers and throw them around or shoot people randomly. I'll wait till the enemy starts to shoot me, and then I'll shoot back. So, and also the way the game works is anytime you do bad actions, you know, it hurts your honor. Anytime you do good actions, it improves your honor. You know, a good action being like if a guy is beating up a whore in a saloon and you tie him up, hog tie him and put him away, even instead of killing him, then you get more honor. So if you go through the game and you can pretty much almost follow the non-aggression principle. And that's what I always try to do. And for some reason, that makes me feel, I don't know, cool. I'm patting myself on the back as an anarchist. Kind of lame, but, you know, there's ways in games where you can sort of show your character and not just randomly hack and slash.
Hellfire missiles cost $68,000 each from Lockheed Martin.
How much?
It's weird. It's $68,000. It's weird seeing the price of this stuff because to me, it seems priceless in a weird, sick way, like because we can't buy them, you know, it seems weird that they actually have a price tag, but of course they do, and we pay it.
Yeah, they have a price tag because that money represents salary and other benefits for the people who make the drones and the missiles.
Did you ever see the Michael Moore movie Bowling for Columbine? In it, he visits a weapons factory. I'm not sure if it's Lockheed Martin. It might be General Dynamics. It's one of those, you know, people who mainly make stuff for the war, but also make toasters. He and their plant is really near Columbine. And a lot of people in – well, Columbine was the school, right? What's the name of the town?
The town was also Columbine. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. But a lot of people in that town are employed at this, you know, government bomb factory. And he was trying to make some connection of like, that's part of why the kids did it, which I don't know if I really got it. I like his anti-war ideas.
I would buy that more than I'd buy violent video games did it to them. And also, I don't like to buy blaming outside calculuses. I mean, I think people are responsible
but
for their own
actions. But I can see it. I can see it too. And you've used the word calculus in an interesting way twice today. Is that your new word of the week? Calendar
No,
word?
I don't have a word calendar.
I've never heard it used that way. Is it a proper use? Yeah, it probably it is.
Thought process.
Cool.
I mean, that's what calculus is, right?
Would that be the plural calculuses or would it be calculi?
I don't know that. I don't think it would be calculi. Although calculi sounds like a robot from Futurama. Oh, that's Calculon.
From what? I like Calculi. It sounds like the name of a new drone from General Fish Dynamics. What is it in The Simpsons? There's a company that makes Mr. Sparkle.
Yeah.
Ever seen that? It's and the company, and it has Homer's picture on the box, but it turns out it's just the combination of two logos that make it's like Mutsuyami Motors and or like heavy Matsuyatsu Heavy Machinery Concern and Moshioto Fishworks. I like Heavy Machinery Concern. That would be the name of a company in Japan. That's how they name things. Yeah. Heavy Machinery Concern.
Is that your Japanese accent?
Heavy
Japanese Konsunaru. Heavy Machinery.
Dude, I am seeing more and more pictures of these Cheeto eaters in Nevada sitting at their drone things. They really look like they're playing video games, and they're all really nerdy looking dudes. They all have glasses, and they're all really skinny.
How do you think they try out for it? Do they like play Space Invaders? Nah, they play something more modern.
That's old school. Yeah, they play Red. When you hit a certain score in Red Dead Redemption, can you play as the government in Red Dead Redemption?
No, thank God. Well, there's a multiplayer mode where you can pick your characters as one of the government. But the multiplayer mode is just you killing a bunch of people online, and whoever kills the most people wins.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.
Yeah, when you're playing in that mode, when you reach a certain score, a van shows up at your house and kidnaps you and drafts you for
you
the
know,
Army or the Air Force.
When I was in high school, I did. I spent a week at West Point because I was thinking about going there, and they invited me to go there. You know, I ended up not going, and I thank God every day that I didn't. But one of the things we did was, you know, they have different sort of they're like classes, like you get a schedule of classes. And I mean, it's only a week long, so it's sort of like how it would be if you were there. And one of them was video games. One of them was we all sat down and played. I think it was either Delta Force or Delta Strike, but it's like an infantry type of game. And you can actually play that. It's a real video game that you can buy as a consumer. But they had like a special version, and we all sat in a room and we played it together. And you know, we had little things, and you could communicate with your teammates. And so the government's been using things like that for, you know, I'm guessing way before then, but I did experience it personally, them using video games as both a training method and a way to see who was good at teamwork and battlefield kind of things.
I'm watching pigeons have sex out the window.
Wow, that was a good segue.
So I'm looking at this picture on Wikipedia. There's a really high-res, really good photo of two Cheeto eaters at the drone controls in their air-conditioned bunker in Nevada. And you can see their screens really well. Wow. They're both looking at a moving truck somewhere on a road. Should I take this and Photoshop in that they're both looking at the Freedom Fiends website?
they're targeting
or
us.
Or like one's looking at one. Yeah, I'll put you on one screen
there
and me
go.
On the other.
There you go. Yeah, I? You should.
Will that get me droned? I'm going to do it while we're talking. I'm going to do some Photoshop while we're.
you just get so off on that
stealing
stuff,
so
man.
Much. I just love stealing time.
You're like,
the
how,
so
you're addicted
you talk
to it.
For
you're
a while.
Like, how much freedom media can I make at the same time?
Well, there's something about it is, and there's something about having three computers running at one time that kind of, I feel like I'm in the drone control, the anti-drone control.
Yes, the anti-drone control. Let's see. Liberty stuff to talk about.
Charlie's snoring. I have to go pet her so she'll stop snoring.
You're just all over the place, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd take a million volts to put me to sleep.
How much sleep did you get? You said you got 3 hours of sleep.
That's a line from a Bomb song. Bomb. Can't believe I was in a band called Bomb. It's so cool and before its time. Yeah, I got about 3 hours
good
sleep.
Good job. And then you decided to wake me up in podcast instead of going to sleep.
Yeah, and now I'm like busy doing other things while you
podcast.
Yeah,
I didn't even get a chance to look at notes or see what's going on in the world of Liberty today. Let's see here. Well, one thing I did want to talk about, you emailed me in our notes a thing about cops being undercover and evil, and I didn't read it, but I did read something else about cops being undercover and evil. Apparently, in some places back east now, cops have a strategy of going into bars. They're sober cops. They go into bars undercover, act like they're drunk, and then if they get the bartender to serve them, they fine the bartender for serving somebody who's over the legal limit. And I just thought, how?
I would be like, I didn't think you were drunk. I just thought
yeah,
you were
I just
stupid.
Thought you were a bad actor. And how does anybody, even in the government, think that that's a crime? Because the person was not drunk. It is such a non-crime. They did not serve to somebody who was intoxicated because the person wasn't intoxicated. They were just acting like an idiot. And that reminds me of, you know, although on a much bigger extreme this is than the other example. But the other example I think of is the bait car. And they even made a reality show about this where they park a car unlocked with the keys in the ignition in a bad part of town.
Yeah, I've seen it. I actually kind of like it. I should hate it, but it's like just some of the looks on the people's faces and the lies they come up with are pretty damn hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I can see how it would be an entertaining watch if, I don't know, for some people. It makes me sick because it's basically watching entrapment and glorifying it. But there's so many examples of this. I mean, pretty much all the terrorism examples are this. It's the FBI picking the dumbest Muslim kid in the mosque and harassing him for a week to say that he hates America and then giving him a bomb and saying, we'll pay you $50,000 if you carry this with you to such and such location. The bomb isn't even a real bomb. It's just a mock-up. And then they arrest him for terrorism. A crime that wouldn't have existed unless the FBI created it. Why doesn't the FBI get arrested for bullcrap like that?
Yeah.
And I mean, and how far are they going to take this? Now police are acting like they're drunk to get bartenders to serve them. I mean, what's next? The government, like, at a party, hands me a joint that's really oregano, and when I light it up, they arrest me for smoking pot? Where will it end?
Do you know you can drag a picture directly from a browser into Photoshop?
I knew you could do it from the desktop. I didn't know you could do it from the browser.
Yeah, it might just be the new – I have the new version of Photoshop finally. I didn't have it before, but yeah. Worms.
Good. See, now you're going to get arrested for copyright infringement.
No, actually, anything the United States government produces is like non-copyright. It's one of the perks. Mm.
Hmm. Kind of that concept of we own the government. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the, I mean, a lot of the pictures in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom are government pictures, like the aerial photo of Katrina.
Yeah. Yeah. So how come I can't just like go in the White House and sleep in the Lincoln bedroom and say, I own it. It's my government.
I don't know, but you can let your dog poop in the library parking lot and not scoop it.
Can I take a dump on the White House lawn? I'm going to try.
Yes, once.
Yes.
Only once.
And only once? Is that in the Constitution?
Yes.
Silly Constitution.
I know.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed silver dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends silver dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says silver dime cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Rolling.
Fiend drone.
Clone the droneless.
Clone the droneless. So why are we saying fiend drone? What did I just do on our break?
You guaranteed that the drones will get fiend, or the fiends will get droned.
Yeah, the drones will get fiend.
I'd much rather have that happen. Yeah, that was a Freudian slip.
The drones get fiend. You know, this is an awesome. I made a Photoshop picture. I took this picture off Facebook of like, it's a really high res picture of two of the Cheeto eaters in Nevada. You know, at their drone controls, and it's from behind. You can see their screens. They're both looking at this truck somewhere live and deciding whether to drone it or not. And I Photoshopped it. So one of the guys' screens has a picture of you and one has a picture of me.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But they look comfortable, don't they, man?
Yeah, they do.
They got these nice leather chairs with these big old armrests. Man, yep. They are chilling. That's much better than a cubicle.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, what I'd like, but for good, never for evil.
Yeah, they're like sitting in the lap of luxury deciding who lives or dies.
I doubt they have Facebook.
You don't think they have Facebook? You don't think they brag about who they droned today?
No. The State Department's PR people do that for them. People like this photo. The weird thing is, like, I did all this editing on it and then posted it on Facebook, and it like in the post it embedded like the description from Wikipedia of this picture, like Lieutenant so and so and Lieutenant so and so in the Nevada facility called blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? No.
So embedded in the image was metadata from Wikipedia.
Yeah. No, the government did it. No, yeah, it was from Wikipedia. I've never seen that happen though. It was very strange, but it didn't shock me. It just was like, ah, heck. But you know, I understand how that could work. You know, the pictures taken now, like say what your geolocation is if you take them on some devices.
Oh, really?
These guys in this room definitely would utilize.
But, yeah, utilize the drone.
Yeah. So I used it. I'm so smart. I immediately had a workaround. I just did a print screen. I took a screenshot of it in Photoshop and then printed that.
Yeah.
Put that on Facebook, which actually looks a little less high res and a little more grainy, but it kind of covered up some of my crappy, quick and dirty Photoshop work.
Yeah. Makes it dirty in a good way. Like recording your drums on cassette tape for your hip hop.
Yeah. I should have used a closer up picture of you than this one of you rapping with the international no symbol behind you. But anybody who knows our stuff knows that's you in the movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty ubiquitous symbol for the fiends.
Yeah, it could be not the drone guys. It could be the central scrutinizer guys who feed the info to the drones. One of them's watching Guns and Weed, and one of them's listening to my podcast.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, because there's no crosshairs, so maybe they're just getting indoctrinated by our fiend media.
Yeah,
we're trying to feed the drones.
Yeah,
we should turn fiend into a verb like that instead of fiending for drugs.
Somebody the other day said turn on tune in fiend out.
Yeah, I like that.
People like this picture. Someone said the central scrutinizer is locked on target.
This is the central scrutinizer.
Hey, wife is home.
Look. She home for lunch?
She's home for lunch, eh?
Yeah? Do you got to go?
Nah, we can keep recording for another little bit. What, do you want to give it about 10 more minutes?
Yeah, does she want to sit down and talk?
I don't know. That's kind of an odd thing to ask. Wife, do you want to talk? No.
To the listeners.
She's giving me a look.
All right, so let's read this. Why don't you read this letter from Larry, a fan.
Letter from Larry, a fan of the Fiends. Got a hold of us through talkback@freedomfiends.com, which you can do as well. Larry writes, first off, thanks for the liberty-oriented content. I, for one, can't get enough liberty content. I've really enjoyed listening to you talk about music, though, also. So I thought I'd throw a music-related question I've been struggling with. I'm a performer doing solo acoustic shows, and I'm struggling with whether to focus on original songs or cover songs. People love hearing their favorite covers. Problem is, I don't love playing them. On the other hand, it's nice to get people to look away from their beers and get up on their feet. Cover songs do that for me. I'd love to play originals, but I have some concerns. None of the popular bands in my area, deep in the heart of BFE, showcase original music.
That's bumfuck Egypt. I had to look it up. I didn't know.
Did you have to look that up?
Yeah, I'm old. I don't text.
I thought it was obvi.
The only time I text ever is to wake you up.
Ah, yes. And then I'm like, oh, he's texting me. And he says, you know, none of the bands there play original music. They all play cover. And he goes, is a desire to play original music coming from some deep-seated narcissism? My approach so far has been to sneak in originals into my sets between covers, which is somewhat effective in that I can grab attention and then play what I want once I have people listening. Sadly, it's never long before I start getting requests for covers. So, question distilled, he says, how can I, as an original artist just starting out, compete with cover bands? Any thoughts or advice would be appreciated. Why don't you address that, Michael, since you actually played a lot as a live band, and I'm guessing you probably didn't do a lot of covers.
I did covers when I was sitting in the park playing that Pink Floyd song I sang for girls to get in their panties when I was 14 and 15.
Trying to get laid before you were in a band.
It worked. yeah, but... And then I was in a band called U.S. Air in high school, which was horrible, and played covers. But as soon as I went out on my own, I did nothing but originals. I mean, we would do like one cover out of like 20 songs, and it wouldn't be really a cover. It would be a rendition of it. You know, we would make it our own.
Right, right. You'd be paying homage, not copying.
Yeah, yeah. So I never really liked doing covers, and I say if people are yelling play Freebird or whatever the current Freebird is, I say don't play there. Don't if you're good, don't waste your seed on those people, man.
Don't spill your seed.
Yeah, just go sit in the park and play for one pretty girl.
There you go. There you go.
Or even one plain looking girl if you're not that good yet, you know.
Although in his question, there was a weird nugget of truth that I guess got to me where he says, is a desire to play original music coming from some deep seated narcissism? At what point?
What's wrong with that, man?
I don't think anything's wrong with it. I just wonder, you know, sometimes I feel like when I'm doing music, I'm making music that I want to make. Whereas, you know, when we're
greed is good, man. Go with Ayn Rand. Selfishness is good. Make the music you want to hear. Seriously, you know.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. But in order to make money, which is another thing of greed, I guess it's what you want.
He didn't ask about money, so let's not even take money into this consideration. He's talking about, you know, playing music for the sake of playing music and building an audience, I guess.
Just saying, for me, sometimes I feel that sort of conundrum. Am I making what I want to make, or am I trying to make things that people want to hear, and what should I be doing?
I kind of do both, but mostly I make it for me. But, if I only played, if I didn't think about the audience and I only played for the sake of the joy of playing, I'd never even write songs. I'd sit in my basement with an electric guitar and make feedback squealy noises, because that's more fun than crafting a fine song.
Okay. So what makes you want to craft a song then?
It's the satisfaction of writing something myself that's great that I want to listen to over and over and over, and it for a secondary reason because other people get a reaction to it.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm making songs for me to listen to over and over again, just like that, you know, while I'm mixing and when I'm done, I'll listen to it. Well, like I've been sitting on a bunch of songs lately from my album, and the first person I let listen to them was my wife. She listened to them the other day and really loved them. And I thought, wow, that was nice. But, you know, I had just enjoyed listening to them myself for so long. Maybe I'll send you a couple tracks so you can check them out and see what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite so far is one called Eat My Nuts. It's about the TSA.
And I'm still willing to do anything on them that you need done.
Yes.
Not for the sake of doing it, you know. Don't feel you need to put me on it. Like, if there's no reason for me to be on it, don't put me on it. But if you need some guitar or some backup vocals or something, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, you made me a bunch of nice
or some bass
sounds, and then you used them all for the Anarchy Gumbo. Or no, it wasn't Anarchy Gumbo. They're all the Freedom Fiends live bumps right now. So I may reinterpret a few of those. Or one
the Freedom
of them.
Fiends live bumps are all my stuff. Oh, that I gave for you to use to do. Yeah. Well, we could get multi-use out of stuff. You can twist stuff, so screw stuff so much it's not going to even be recognizable. And I'm using the Anarchy Gumbo intro music as the end credits music in my gun training DVD.
Yes.
Unless you want to, in the next couple days, do something that's a similar feel for me. Like in the next 5 days.
What's the name of the bump that you use in the Anarchy Gumbo intro?
I can just play it for you right here. We're like, this guy's like, should I do things for other people or for myself? And I'm like, I've completely forgotten we're podcasting, and I'm just having a business discussion with my art partner here. So that's my answer to you.
Your artner. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that we do Freedom Fiends, you know, for us. I mean, I really do it. I do it the way I want it to sound, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, here, I'll play the bump. Okay. Listen.
Welcome to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it. No,
you know, totally you know which one it is?
Yeah, I know which one that is. Yeah, I hadn't planned on rapping over that. That's good for a bump, but...
I'm already using that on the Anarchy Gumbo cast.
Yeah, I know you are.
But could you come up with something that's a similar feel?
Oh, because you want something different.
Yeah, yeah. Ah. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind pimping the end, because in the end credits it says music. The only two pieces of music in the whole thing are the intro song with the montage of him shooting a bunch of cool guns and doing a bunch of cool stuff is the Right Arm of Wyoming song Get Off My Property.
Nice.
And the end song is the Anarchy Gumbo podcast theme by Nima Vidotti. So
if you want to keep it. If you really want something else.
Nah, I'll keep it, man. So I guess our answer to Larry is, first of all, you should review and rate our podcast on iTunes.
Do things for us.
On iTunes. Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm kind of honored when people send me questions like this, but I'm kind of like, I should be charging for this stuff, man. My experience, I mean, that's what a consultant would do. But so what I'm charging you, if you'd like to voluntarily pay this, is go review us on iTunes.
Okay. So in exchange for that, your answer is don't play at lame places where 40-year-old, 50-year-old women are asking you to play Freebird.
Unless they'll blow you.
Unless
but
blow you.
I mean, really, do you want to be and you just made him sign a contract that he didn't agree to sign. So let's rephrase that.
All right. Fair enough.
We will drone you if you don't. No. OK.
that's our government contract. You signed a social contract when you emailed us.
Yeah. No, you didn't. I mean, you don't want to be a live jukebox, you know? They have jukeboxes.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if you want to hear other people's songs, go to a club where there's a DJ.
I mean, I really think that, yeah, I mean, I really think that people who just want to listen to a live performer play other people's music as close as possible in style and sound to the original artist, I think those people are dull, blank food tubes. Those, you know, like that kind of musician exists to sell beer. They don't exist to even sell music.
Mm, yeah. Well, there are some cases where there are exceptions. For instance, the band touring as Sublime with Rome, it's none of the original members, I don't think, except for...
Yeah, it is.
It's the bass player.
It's everybody except the singer, isn't it?
No, it's just the bass player. The singer's different. Huh. There's a DJ that's different.
And stupid people go listen to them, and you.
I went to listen to them, and it was a lot of fun.
Stupid people and you and your wife.
The thing was, the original member was, like, the worst one out of them all. he was wearing a tank top. He was really overweight, which, I mean, I'm not hating on him, because I think he was like that when they were actually playing. And I think when they were actually playing, he was part of their charm. But it felt like he wasn't even trying. Like, there was a bass solo where he was playing, like, one of the ubiquitous bass lines from Sublime, and it was, like, not the bass solo. He made the notes simpler and just sort of half-assed it, and the rest of the time, he was, like, in the corner smoking a joint or whatever, just sort of, like, shrugging his shoulders.
He was too stoned and old to play his own songs.
Pretty much, yeah. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I guess they have the rights to do that.
You know, in the Foo Fighters writer, it says something about, like, you know, it's telling, like, what kind of monitors they need and the side fills and everything on the stage. And he's like, and they're like, and if you get this right, you'll get a really nice hug from our bass player. He likes good monitors. And it's our bass player is a real people person. It's not the guy from Nirvana. It's the guy from the Foo Fighters. He's a really nice guy. Like, they had to put a dig to Chris Novoselic in their writer.
Do you think that was a... Yeah, I guess it was a dig to Novoselic.
Well, it's saying he's not a people person. Yeah. He gives fake hugs or something. I don't know. It's a dig.
Doesn't he live, like, out in the middle of nowhere in Washington? What does he do lately? Does he do music?
He's a politician, man. He wrote a book that I argued with him by email about. He wrote a book about, like, changing the voting system to be, like, more representational democracy in America.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's not winner take all two parties, that it's like 20 parties and they each get to steal the amount of money of votes percent they get.
Yeah. Tweaking the system. Yeah.
No, that is so uncool. When politicians get into politics, it's so unhip. It's so square. I mean, when musicians get into politics, because really, I think the purest artist in the pure form is an anarchist, whether they know it or not. You know, Jimi Hendrix was an anarchist. You know, he was. You could tell by listening to him. You know, the Sex Pistols, they called themselves anarchists. You know, they were anarchists. The Joy Division were anarchists, man. The Grateful Dead were anarchists. Although after Jerry Garcia died, the remaining dead who play as the dead did some fundraisers for Obama. But as long as Jerry was there, they were anarchists.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times it's people talking about something without really getting into it just because they have a position where people ask them questions. They have a platform to speak. So they feel like there should be change in the world. But things like that, you know, changing it to a representative democracy with more percentages.
It's square. Well, it's square.
It's
you're just trying to show your dad you're smarter than him at being your dad.
There you go.
And that's the most unrock and roll thing you can do, you know? I mean, if you want to do something political with your band, like, do a benefit for Cop Block, you know? Don't do a benefit for politicians. Do a benefit to block politicians, soldiers.
Yeah. Well, it's like saying we should use some high-tech materials on the next horse and buggy we build. You know, tweaking the system like that is trying to update something that is obsolete. I mean, why do we need to think about the best way to build, you know, a horse and buggy or a printing press or a wheelbarrow or some other obsolete technology? The state is obsolete. So why are we talking about trying to fix the system?
The only place the state is using green energy, which green energy was the big promise of Obama, the only place they're using green renewable solar energy is on that Uber drone. And that's because it doesn't have to pay for itself.
What do you mean it doesn't have to pay for itself?
Well, solar panels aren't really viable on a massive scale yet, but they are viable on something that you want to keep in space in orbit on the Earth for a year.
Ah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because you don't care how much, because it's not like solar powering a factory where it has to pay for itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the other fatal flaw in something like the Obama administration saying they're going to push green energy is all they really did was try to subsidize it. All they really did was throw money at the problem. And I guess the silliest thing is, you know, there was another program where they were like, well, if you build a great battery for a car that can power a car and meet these requirements, we'll give you $1 billion or something like that. And it's like, no, the reward in doing something like that is the market will reward you.
Well,
if you build
the best thing,
you're going to make $1 billion anyway.
The thing is, too, at this point, like putting the politics and the stolen money aside, which you can't do, but I will for a minute. Electric cars are not carbon neutral. Electric cars use more fossil fuels than they save on a gasoline car because they're powered by
electricity. The electricity has to come from somewhere. People.
Right. It's kind of like every once in a while somebody comes up with what they think is a perpetual motion machine that runs on magnets, you know, which can be done. You can make a nearly frictionless kind of circular thing that runs with magnets that generate a little electricity that produces an electromagnet to bring the magnet back up to the top and drop it. But the thing is, that's not really perpetual motion because solid magnets, when they're used over and over and over again with their magnetic charge fluxing, become non-magnets with time. And magnets have to be created in a factory with giant electromagnets powered by energy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's basically magnets are batteries in a way.
Mm. Right, right. So, and this whole making things carbon neutral and things like that, I feel like you let the market take care of it. If oil really is, you know, to where we're reaching peak oil, supposedly, and all this kind of stuff, the price system will fix that for us. If oil gets too scarce, it'll get too expensive. Then it'll become an opportunity for an entrepreneur to build something else that works. We don't need government force. We don't need to point guns at people's heads and say, hey, we think the oil is going to run out, so we're going to shoot you if you use it. You don't need anything like that.
Halliburton has letters of marque from the Queen of America.
The Queen of America? Who would that be? Lady Gaga?
Yeah, that's who performed at the Queen's Jubilee this year.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
When I was your age, it was the Sex Pistols performing on their own and getting arrested.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Lady Gaga, there was a Simpsons episode that pretty much glorified her. And I've been feeling for lately that the Simpsons episodes for this season are like completely lame. Like,
it's product placement, man. The Simpsons are owned by Fox. Who's Lady Gaga on? What label? Oh, someone said this picture. Someone said of this picture, we're about to become fiend paste.
That sounds delicious. We should product place that.
Yeah. All right. I'm done.
It's fluoride free.
I'm done.
You're done, just like that. We're not going to make fun of the Simpsons. All right.
Oh, go ahead, man. Go ahead. No, I don't know. Good. They're so like 25 years ago. You know that it's like really even make fun of them bother.
Yeah. I haven't seen
a new episode in 10 years. I saw the movie. The movie was okay.
Yeah, movie was okay. Well, I like them till now.
Well,
this season.
In the movie, the EPA were armed thugs. I like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
And the president was Schwarzenegger. Or, sorry, yes. Sorry, McBain. Or was it Schwarzenegger? Did they actually call him that? I think they did.
How do you sleep at night?
On a pile of money surrounded by beautiful women.
Oh, this is even better. Soylent Fiend. Okay, after I said this long thing about what the topic, the name of the cast should be, should we just call it Soylent Fiend and use this picture?
Yes, yes. Okay. And that will hold true to tradition of changing the name of the cast.
Yep.
Wife, did you cook me lunch too? Wife did not cook me lunch.
Okay. Well, go beat your woman till she satisfies.
Yes, of course.
That was an old blues song. I got to beat my woman till she satisfies.
Was it?
I
got to
beat my woman till I'm satisfied. Yeah, it was basically by the guy who invented rock and roll. What's his name? Robert Johnson.
Oolong Johnson.
Who?
Oolong Johnson.
Robert Johnson. You don't know who Robert Johnson is, man?
No, man, I don't.
Oh, okay, let's talk about Robert Johnson. I think he stabbed a bunch of people. Let me see. He invented rock and roll in like 1923 or something.
How do you invent rock and roll?
Listen to his music, man. It's acoustic guitar, but it's if you played what he's playing on electric and put drums behind it, it would be rock and roll. You didn't know that?
I didn't know about Robert Johnson. No.
You didn't know about yeah.
Let's see. 100 years ago, a boy child was born in Mississippi. What's a boy child? A dirt poor African American who would grow up, learn to sing and play the blues, and eventually achieve worldwide renown. Okay, yeah, I'll check him out.
He's not the one though that sold to the devil at the crossroads. That was
I know about that story.
That was one of his proteges, I think.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, there's a song called Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson.
And there's one called Me and the Devil Blues.
Yeah. I think that's Me and the Devil Blues is I got to beat my woman till I'm satisfied.
Oh, is it? Does he mean like, you know, beat it up, like beat the pussy?
No, he means smack her around.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, it was very un-PC, man.
I can imagine.
I got to beat my woman till I'm satisfied.
Yes, okay, we're going to play Me and the Devil Blues. I'm sure it'll put a little, like, you know, someone owns his soul, and we'll put ads on it if we put this on YouTube.
Do music rights expire? I mean, it was almost 100 years ago.
All the gangs that own all the music companies got together and, like, had Congress extend that.
Oh, they did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it will expire at some point. I mean, like the works of Bach and Beethoven, you can play those.
Yeah. Well, that's one reason they still make this kind of music. All right, here we go.
Early this morning, when you knocked upon my door.
Early this morning, the devil knocked upon my door.
Early this morning.
Early this morning.
When you knocked upon my door.
Hello, Satan.
Yeah.
I believe it's time to go.
Hey, Satan.
I mean, this is Led Zeppelin. That's where they got all their stuff.
Yeah.
Me and the devil.
Walking side by side.
Okay, we're at 24 minutes. We got to end this file.
All right, fiends, don't beat your wives.
And if you'd like more information, there are plenty more Robert Johnson recordings available at your public library. That's how it used to be. They don't need libraries, man. They got the internet.
Yeah.
Stop funding them and building them and taking a penny of my...
taking your 1 cent.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Worms, man.
Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.